What's up, everybody? Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. But thanks. What's up, everyone? As you could hear, that was Yuki. So we're going to get into it. This is Sam with Rowdy Alternative. And today we have Current Blue on with Stefan Looney and Yuki Tillis. How are y'all doing today?
Yo,
what's up?
Good, man.
We're good. We're just chilling.
Yeah, just day drinking. No.
I am too. So cheers. But what are you guys up to? Are like you guys keeping busy, like touring and everything, or shows? How's that looking right now?
Yeah, funny you should mention. Friday, we're touring to North Carolina. We're going to playing it. Where are we playing?
Evening Muse.
The Evening Muse. We're playing at the Evening Muse.
Charlotte.
In Charlotte, North Carolina. Waiting a couple weeks. We're going back to Charlotte. We got a big tour coming up in September that we're not allowed to talk about yet.
Okay.
But we're very excited. Yeah, we're staying busy. Yeah. Staying very busy.
Well, that's good to hear, guys. And I'm actually like just recently learning about you guys and like basically kind of your whole genre or style. Like I was looking it up because I was curious to see like what they call the kind of stuff you guys, the kind of, you know, style you guys do. And I saw the term, is it bedroom pop? Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. That's kind of a term that was created like back in the day.
Yeah, it was kind of like thrown on us.
We subscribed
to it.
That was like our first like major like playlist that we were added to on Spotify was the bedroom pop playlist. Okay. So
so like what would you guys describe your style then? Like is it like a lo-fi kind of deal? How would you guys describe it?
Yeah, like lo-fi pop. Pop. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's really neat because I was looking for some like nice like alternative kind of indie sounding bands I started in like the rock area and I kind of, you know, trickled down to like the lo-fi kind of stuff, and it's really cool what you guys are doing with your music, and I feel like it's kind of a recent genre. Would you agree? Like it's kind of new and like I know it's budding a lot and getting more popular.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely come on, like, in the past, like, 5-ish years. And I think we caught it at that point where it was just starting to crest, you know, and then we, like, kind of
surfed that barrel.
Yeah, we caught that barrel and rode it in onto the shore and then found a different beach. we were pretty lucky to, like, get to come up with a lot of really cool artists, like, at the same time. Like, we got to see, like, Still Woozy kind of come up like at the same time as us, and obviously he's skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool to like be like, oh hey, we used to be on playlists together and shit like that. So now we're kind of like more R&B leaning with a lot of stuff like coming out. But yeah, it's pretty cool to like just kind of evolve the sound and ride waves. Have fun making music.
And like from like my opinion at least, it's like it reminds me a lot like of an extension off of kind of like guys like Mac Miller. Like he came to mind for some reason when I started listening to you, like just like the vibe and the way it kind of flows. Like, I don't know. Is there kind of almost like I don't know if you call it hip hop or what, like some kind of influence there, I think. Would you agree with that?
There definitely is. And it's really funny that you say that. Cause like normally he runs like the shaved head with the face, so like
so like you do look a lot like Mac Miller.
Literally everywhere we go,
that's fucking
like
nuts.
Oh my god, Mac Miller. And we're like, no.
Bro, I try to get away from it as much as I can. Like, all respect to Mac Miller, it's like people ask me for pictures and shit, it gets insane. But no, it's definitely like I think like a lot of our vocal production is pretty similar to like not even just Mac Miller, but just like hip hop in general. Like that's all I listen to is rap. And then I think that kind of like definitely plays a part in how we mix, how we master, you know, the content and like the flow and things of our songs. You know, so it definitely influenced us a lot, you know, as far as that goes. But
Yeah, right on. So I guess let's back up a bit just so people get a little familiar with you guys. I guess we'll just start with how you guys formed. Like, how'd you guys meet and decide to work together?
Yeah, so we actually went to high school together. Like, we were probably, like, 14 when we met. And we actually met, like, what was it?
2014,
like yeah. that, but really, we met just through mutual friends, and we ended up, like, joining, like, guitar club together, like, at our high school.
Yeah.
And so, like, we met, like, our other friend who plays bass for us there, and, like, we just kind of hit it off, and, like, from there, we were just, like, you know, in, like, in somebody's garage over the summer, like, just hours yeah. of just, like, jamming and kind of messing around, and
yeah.
And so, yeah, and, like, this guy's actually, like, got really good at, like, production, and so,
I figured at some point we should start, like, recording our, yeah. our sessions, and then it, like, kind of spiraled into more, and then I was, like, really found a love for gear and shit, and then we started recording for fun. So we've been dropping music for about 5 years, and we've known each other, been, like, fucking around with music for about a decade. And, yeah, we're, like, friends, lovers, back to friends. So, yeah, it's been a while, but, yeah, it's been rowdy. Yeah.
Hell yeah, yeah, nice. But yeah, so you're into, like, the production and everything. So you record stuff even now for you guys?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with, like, that was, like, the whole thing with, like, bedroom pop is just, like, people making music, like, in their bedrooms. It's, like, the whole idea.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So, like, it's kind of like this whole, like, little movement of, like, small indie artists making their own music on their laptops, and that's kind of, like, our vibe.
Yeah, and it's cool to, like, it just kind of goes to show that, like, as much as, like, I'm guilty, but, like, gear and equipment and, like, expensive shit doesn't make you good. And, like, you can make incredible things with what you got, you know, and become, mm-hmm. like, really successful with, like, just, like, the smallest things. Like, some of our, like, biggest songs were recorded on, like, Apple earbuds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah, like, in my car. Like, yeah. Like
our biggest song, like, 6-speed, he literally, like, recorded it in his closet.
Apple earbuds, like, but it's like, you know, you do what you can with what you got, and, you know, it's kind of like the whole philosophy of bedroom pop, so it's cool to get to, like, yeah, be exemplary.
Yeah, for sure. That reminds me of a completely different genre than you guys, but he's like Texas, like, country/rock. Is Taylor Kimball is his name.
Okay.
And he started it out in, like, a barn, like, with, like, like, with that kind of equipment, and the record, it was a guy named Co Wetzel, and now he, like, that record that was recorded in the barn, like, blew the fuck up to, like, I think it's still probably his biggest record to this day, and he's, like, touring, like, you know, all over the world, I think, now. So, but yeah,
I love that, man. Yeah, that's what it's about.
So would you say, like, the like, when you compare, like, your guys' style of music with other styles of music, whether it be, like, rock or hell, even country, whatever, anything. Do you think production has way more of an effect then, just because of, like, the beats and the type of stuff you guys do?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's pretty production heavy. Like,
yeah,
we would like to do more like, live sessions and get some, like, live drums in our music and stuff like that. But yeah, we definitely, like, leaned a lot more towards, like, yeah.
Yeah, just, like, digital production.
Digital production.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, like, when we started out, it was pretty much, like, entirely just musical. And then now we've kind of, like, delved.
I think that's a word.
No. I don't know, whatever. We've explored more into, like, lyrical songwriting and, like, telling a story in the music. And, like, you know, obviously us being, like, teenagers when we started putting out music, it's, like, now we're obviously becoming better at what we do. We're better at singing, we're better at writing, better at playing, like, and we still have, like, there's no fucking ceiling, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, there's no yeah. skill cap to music, so it's just, like, we're always, like, yeah. working on it. Yeah, so I think we used to be really, like, production forward, and now we're kind of
going
the other direction now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting out the bedroom.
Yeah. We don't want to, like, know us and shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, you're always progressing then, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like,
that's the cool thing.
Like, yeah, I love that with artists like you guys, because, like, I say it every time, and it's a broken record, but, like, I think, like, what makes an artist great, of course, you have people, like, you have bands with their formulas, like AC/DC, who are good. They play the same type of shit, like, but, you know, that's AC/DC. But, like, again, like, bands, especially just starting out, well, you guys aren't really just starting out, but, you know, younger bands, like, our kind of generation, like, seeing them progress and want to do new things, like, I think that's what makes an artist great, in my opinion. And I think that's what shows a true artist, you know, because like you could get comfortable. Yeah. That's cool. But to reach another group of fans, like you want to try something different. You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys from Charleston? Is that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wait, where are you research. Based? I'm
you're EST, right?
I'm in Cincinnati. So like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So not terribly far, I guess, when you compare like a lot of the other people I talked to. But like, I've been to Charleston before. You know, great place. Cool. But I was wondering like when you guys were coming up and like first starting to get into it, and what was the music scene like in your area, like with Cutting Teeth, like when you're you're still trying to get the hang of it? Because I know around here there's like not shit. Like Kentucky has a lot of cool stuff, but like there's not really anything going on around here.
It was pretty hard to get into the scene, I'm not gonna lie. Like a lot of it is like it's kind of hard to filter through, like kind of like your regular like bar scene, like those types of guys, like cover bands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we did manage to find like some pretty like niche groups and like kind of work our way into them. And there was a group at the time that would hold like little pop-ups and eventually got their own venue and would sell vintage clothes and stuff like that.
Pre-pandemic was a fucking wild time in Charleston. Yeah. Like was like you would walk down the street and there was like house show. And it was very like, I would almost liken it to like the Philly house show scene of that period. Like it was kind of the same vibe. It was like anywhere you went, you're accidentally walking into like some crazy ass concert. You don't know who's playing.
It did feel like that.
It's somebody's house, like somebody's like basement, attic, whatever.
Yeah.
And so like that was a lot of our shows when we first started out. Was like, like our first show ever. Like we played like a New Year's Eve party.
That was,
and it was like people like just crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
That was like, really fun.
Yeah, like we played this house show one time, like when we were like still like first starting out. It was like 2019.
We put out one song, and then we played a house show on New Year's Eve night. And while we were playing,
it was like weeks after,
it hit midnight while we were playing, and we did like this little countdown thing. It was just really,
it's really sweet. Like, and it was cool to see like everybody, like once you're in the scene, like everybody comes together, and like we would just have like crazy, like a million like house party stories and just like really fun times, you know, in the scene. And, you know, it was a great place to start out. So
yeah,
we had fun with it.
So like you say house shows, and this is just me being ignorant to all that, but like, are we talking like literal like house parties or like frat houses or what?
Literally, that's how we started. We would just play like, cause you know, like Charleston, like they have all those like vintage homes, like, like really, really old homes.
Fucking 300-year-old houses.
And so, we would literally, like, just show up at, like, it would be, like, college kids parties. And, they would, like, sell clothes and, like, sell art and stuff like that. And so they would just ask us to play, and it was really fun. Like, and if we, it'd be, like, packed out. And
yeah, dude.
It was just so much fun.
Fucking, it was really wild.
It was
a cool time. But, yeah, it was just, like, we'd be, like, is this the place? And then you walk inside, and it's, like, razors, like they're selling art, and like it's like this bazaar of just like cool art shit. It was a cool time for sure.
And I guess like I was gonna ask you next about like how you found your like niche and stuff, because that's a good way to put it, because like it kind of, the type of stuff you play is kind of a niche thing. Like the people who are, I was gonna say like it's like a cult fan base kind of thing, but that sounds a little harsh, but it's more it is like a niche, because like there's a, like it's, the genre is like, so like the people who are into it are very into it, and like that's like all they listen to, you know what I mean? So like do you think like that's how you kind of built up your fan base, through those shows, like those house shows? Because it sounds like that's, and the time, at the time you were doing that, like pre-pandemic, that's when it was like getting hot, like the bedrooms pop and like the lo-fi kind of shit, you know? Do you think that's true? Or
for sure, I think house shows are really great for like bands that are just starting, because like you get to see like everyone face to face, like super intimate, obviously. Like it's not like you're on a stage or anything, like you're right in front of these people, and like they're really engaged in what you're doing, and you talk to them after the shows and like actually have that like person to person connection. Mm-hmm. And just like building that for like, you know, like a year or two was like super, super helpful for us, and like getting people interested in our style of music.
It was the groundwork.
And then, like, from then on, like, listening to what we put out on Spotify, so.
And I think it was, like, people just being, like, genuinely kind to us. Like, when we're first starting out, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. It's like people just being like really nice and seeing like the potential of the music, like gave us confidence to keep playing and keep putting out music. And then we're like, oh, people actually do give a fuck what we're doing, you know? And it was just, it's really nice. So yeah, for sure. It played a part. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back again real quick. Like when you guys first got together, did you gel easily in the sense, well, you said you knew each other forever, but like musically, like musical taste, were you guys all into the same kind of stuff or did you have to like kind of morph it into your own thing or?
We're pretty similar, like Modest Mouse, like all those indie bands. Like,
of the time.
We were just like super into like that type of like indie pop music. So
I think now we're like probably the most different in taste than we've been, but also we're still really similar, if that makes sense. Like
That's good though.
Because like you come with like Yuki will come with like just ideas that like I never would have thought of. And then I come with like, you know, it's just like we blend together and we always surprise each other too. So it's really cool. I'm glad we're not quite as homogenous.
Yeah, it's kind of nice being a little different.
That's what makes it unique.
Right. For exactly. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, when it comes to songwriting, do you both contribute to that, or is one of you the songwriter? Or?
So, definitely, like lyrically, it's usually usually this guy.
Yeah. For better or worse.
Yeah. So. So usually, like, he'll be the first one to come up with the ideas, and then, like, I'll come over, and we'll just kind of, like, finish it up and, you know, get both of our styles, like, into what we're doing. It's a lot of fun. So, and other times, we'll just start from scratch, just jamming and, like, just recording and see what comes out of it.
But he's, like, the guitar guy.
Okay. Like,
we both play guitar. I don't even play.
We've played like the same.
Exactly the same time. Go figure. I'll kind of like lay like a framework and then he will just fucking blow it out, like take it to the next level. And then I'm like, oh, like this is what it should sound like. And like,
try to add like those little licks and like,
yeah, the know, some flavor. So that's kind of process. If that is, I don't know if that explains it to you.
No, that makes sense. So like when you guys play live, I assume you have like some kind of backing band, or is it just you two?
Have a full band.
Cool. How'd you meet them guys?
So we used to have like a DJ with us that would play like backing tracks off of like a 404. I don't even know what a 404
is. 404.
So he would play like backing shit and like twist knobs on the 404. Now we have a live drummer, we have a full band, and we have a bassist. His name's Austin. He can't be with us, but
he's been with us from the beginning,
from the very beginning.
Shout out
Austin. Oh nice.
Yeah
shout
so
out.
So everything that we said, like the whole like known each other for forever and music, like that also applies to him. Imagine he's right here.
He's but, laying down in the back seat.
He leans up, he's like
oh fuck.
Wait, the interview started. Same with him. So, that's Austin Clintworth, and he is a fucking god-tier bassist. He's great. Mm-hmm. Awesome human being. And then now we work with a drummer, and his name's Kalen, and he is very fucking dope. We're excited to all tour together, because, we're just mixing it up. I don't know. We always keep it. We've had it rotating. He used to play drums for us.
I did.
Oh, nice.
Back in the day.
And then we it's like a revolving door of people.
We've had a lot of different, like, setups. We've had, you know, people coming and going, and, like, I played drums, and we were just kind of having fun, like, just figuring it out. So.
Yeah, honestly. And I think it translates to the crowd, too. Like, the crowd can tell that, like, A, we don't take ourselves too seriously. B, like, we're just having fun, and it's like the energy that we bring is what's important, really, I think,
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. So going back to the songwriting a bit, do you guys ever I know obviously you two probably co-write, but like, do you ever write with like other people outside of Current Blue or anything like that?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. Our buddy Andrew, he goes by JD Moon, but he has like his own solo project, but we work with him a lot. he masters all of our stuff now. And he's an awesome, awesome artist.
Super talented.
Other than that, I don't know. We don't really work with that many people besides us.
We've had a few people that we've worked like with, like outside of our like little circle in Charleston, but
yeah, like we've had like features and shit, but as far as like writing songs for like ghostwriting and shit, we've never done that.
Because I know like in Nashville, that's where Rage Rowdy's based out of. Like they're they write together all the time and I don't know, that sounds like, you know, it sounds great. Like if you're an artist or a songwriter, it'd be cool to gel with other songwriters. But at the same time, I feel like there might be some kind of not ego thing going on, but just like, I don't know. I'd imagine being an artist, like this is my shit. I don't really want to change it for your shit and vice versa. It just seems kind of hard to do. Like I don't do it, but like, it just seems like from an outsider's point of view,
It's really fun to see like other people's take on what you like started though. I feel like, like for example, like we had this girl, Shan Capri, from the Philippines actually, on one of our songs, and like we just sent it over to her and she put a verse on it, and like it's just really interesting to see like how other
people go a totally new level, right, a different direction,
like see what other people would do on like what you've done, and I think it's really cool.
We're not anti co-writer all. We just like the opportunity hasn't really like presented itself in a way that makes sense for us, you know. Mm-hmm. Because we're very much like bootstrappers, like we'll just do shit ourselves.
For sure. Like, have you ever, and that's a, you know, like that's a, your route you want to take. If it works, it works. It seems like it's working, but like, have you ever thought about maybe like, hey, let's take a trip to wherever the fuck, like Nashville or something, try and get something done like that or anything like that ever cross your mind?
That would be very cool.
We've had like offers to like come out to LA and do like writing sessions and shit, but we're just
LA's
like,
probably more, I guess LA would probably be more your speed than fucking Nashville.
I fucking love Nashville, bro. It's like one of my favorite places on earth. I've got no issue with it, bro. It's fire.
Yeah, it's funny. It's kind of like a running joke on here because like this is like, it's funny because it's based out of Nashville. I'm doing a podcast for a Nashville company, and I always somehow accidentally shit on Nashville like I just did right there.
No, bro. Yeah, Nashville sucks, actually.
Oh, that's funny.
It's polarizing, man. I love Nashville, personally. I also like Vegas, which is a really hot take.
Really?
Maybe my judgment sucks. I don't know.
You like Vegas, like in the sense of like partying and like gambling or like songwriting?
No, it's like in an ironic way.
Oh, yeah.
Like I can't help but it's just like so bizarre and
I feel
like corporate and trashy. I don't know why. I don't really know why.
Yeah.
I love the IRS too.
We don't love them anything.
So how would you guys describe your live show? Because I think for fans to really become fans, a live show a lot of the time is like kind of like that's what keeps them coming and that's what keeps them wanting to look up an artist more and get into their music. So how would you describe it, like if you could? Kind of an open-ended question, but
yeah,
it's very open-ended. It's a lot of fun. It's like the level of like when you leave, you probably feel like you went to a stand-up comedy show.
Oh, really?
But while you're there, you're enjoying some really good music, and we're just having fun. And like every live show is different. Like we said, like we're always like trying new things. We're riffing. You know, we're like sometimes depending on the venue, you got to read the room. Like we're, you know, fucking goofing off, like cutting up. Like it just depends. Like if it's a low stakes show, honestly, you might have more fun. Like, you know, higher cap venues, but you know, like in like when we played like Baby's All Right in Brooklyn, which is like one of our favorite venues. Like it's definitely like not a cinematic experience, but it's like we have a lot more stage presence and we're like. Really like the songs sound different, like the energy that we bring is more, you know, that serious tone, and it's like whoa, like you're at a fucking concert. You know, versus when we play like we'll still play like hometown dive bars, and we love it. You know, and it's like we know half the people in the crowd, and yeah. They're like, oh, hey, it's cool. I haven't seen you guys in a while. Yo, hey, what's up, Mike? You know, it's like, you know, it's cool to get to like riff around like that. So it really just depends like where we're playing, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the venues that you guys like? Your favorite venues, I guess. I know you just mentioned the one, but like, are there any that come to mind to where you're like, I can't wait to play there again?
Still babies.
We just love babies. Like,
it's so good.
We love New York. Like, we've only been like a handful of times, but we just,
Gray Eagle in Asheville was pretty awesome.
That was
really cool. Liked Gray Eagle.
Yeah.
We're playing Amos in July in Charlotte, and that I'm very excited for that. We've never played there. We don't really know what to expect. I've heard great things about the Masquerade in Atlanta.
Yeah.
We're playing there. Yeah. Fuck, I leaked beans. sometime in October, right?
I think so.
So,
breaking news.
Breaking
news. Yeah. Now I'm just like rattling off venues that I'd like to play.
But, yeah, we definitely want to. Because we haven't touched the West Coast at all. We're kind of like, we're a little timid when it comes to like, you know, getting out there and doing that type of stuff. But we definitely want to do that at some point.
Yeah,
we've kind of just been hitting the East Coast like this whole time. So
it's cool. Yeah,
but yeah, I'm really excited for the future.
Yeah,
and getting out there. Yeah,
see you soon, UCLA.
like when you do go more west, just from like experience, like even places like Texas, Oklahoma, like Arkansas, places like there, you think of that place, you think of like, okay, country music, but in reality, dude, like if you're paying attention, it's shifting to rock and even more like branching off. There's like grunge, there's like the kind of stuff you guys do too, that's what's popping out there right now, so that might be a good market
emo
for
shit.
Exactly, the Midwest emo shit. Yeah. Like they love that shit.
I love that shit, dude. I'll cry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for some tears. Man,
I'll be angsty.
Well, what about some venues you like, bucket list venues you want to play? Like people say like Red Rocks sometimes, like that'd be pretty fucking sweet.
Red Rocks. I was about to say that. That would be sick. Outdoor venues like that. Yeah.
Or like festivals too. Like you think you could fit it? Like what festival would you like to play on?
Festival. I think it'd be fitting to say Bonnaroo.
I was about to say that.
That's like happening right now. It's happening actively.
Oh yeah. That is right. It is happening right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. During the horrible period of the pandemic, we were slated for South by Southwest four shows, and obviously it didn't happen that year.
Shit.
We were very distraught about it. We're still mad.
We're trying to hit that. We're trying to run it back.
We have like permanent.
Got to run it back.
Yeah, I want to play South by for sure.
That's like our
probably
like
number one
huge on a bucket list. We're like, we gotta do that one day. Like, just because that opportunity just like slipped, like,
which obviously we had it. People had it way worse off, but that was like, that was our gripe. We're like, fuck,
so close.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah, that'd be a great place for you guys to play. A great event. Speaking of the pandemic, because this is like a lot of people have different like ways that they handled it with like making music and everything. Obviously you couldn't really play or tour, but like how'd you guys like compare it before it and after the pandemic? Was there like a, was it hard to get back into maybe creativity? I can't fucking say it, you know what I'm saying?
Are you good?
creatively I'm a few Trulies deep, but creatively even like the live aspect, like maybe it was like a drop off of like people come in, like how'd you guys adjust to that? Was it easy, hard?
I feel like it definitely was difficult in the beginning, but it almost like amplified what we were doing already, like in the sense of us like being bedroom pop.
It just gave us
even more time of just like sitting at home doing nothing but like playing music,
which everyone can relate to.
Yeah,
and like the whole bedroom pop thing I think was furthered by everybody being stuck inside, because they're like, wait, you guys just, I'm stuck inside. And it's like, everybody can appreciate that. So it was like easier digitally, like with you know, putting out music, and then live shows obviously were non-existent. So and getting that traction back was pretty fucking hard. But we're back.
Back and better than ever. Are there any just because this is me just being curious, because I'm still kind of getting to know the whole bedroom pop arena, I guess you could say. Is there anyone like who's in the same like style as you guys that you would like to tour with in the future or work with?
I always say it. I always say Yeek. His name's Yeek, Y-E-E-K.
Okay.
And he's a Filipino artist that's like pretty big and like influenced me pretty heavily, like being like, he was kind of the only like Asian artist that I saw like in our genre. So I was just like, damn, like look at that guy. Like he's really doing it.
Right.
So like that would be sick. That would be super sick. And I was pretty heavily inspired by like how he plays guitar and stuff like that. Yeah, so yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What about you, Stefan? Anything?
Probably McKee.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have like a noble reason. It's just kind of like yeah, but definitely McKee. We've been big McKee fans for years and years.
Yeah.
I love the way he fucking plays guitar, his production, vocals. Like I'll dig right. It's fine.
I'm like quietly taking notes of all these artists so I could like listen to them and get familiar with them.
McGee's like newer shit is very like, I don't want to say it's like country leaning, but it's like, I mean, he got like co-signed by Clapton recently. Oh, wow. And it's very like, it's very musical, and I think, you know, if you're a country fan, you'll definitely appreciate just like the musicality of it.
It's just funny. I have a friend named Katie, shout out, who's been listening to you guys for a long time, and she sent me like a playlist. I'm like, I know you listen to this kind of music, I want to get into it and have like people on like the podcast send me a playlist, and it was like maybe five people, and like you guys are on it, and I'm pretty sure a few of the guys you just mentioned were on it, but like that was it.
Cool. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks,
Katie. Awesome. Thank you,
Katie.
Thanks,
yeah. Katie. She's from Arizona too, so it's reaching all the way out there. Yeah.
Yeah. We fucking love Arizona, dude.
Hell yeah.
That's so cool.
Shout out Arizona.
Yeah. So, guys, you got anything? What do you got coming down the pipe? Any like new music or anything you can talk about?
Yeah, we're working on an album, so it'll be our first album, like real album, because so far we kind of just like put stuff out as we make it one by one. So yeah, we're working on something like a little bit more cohesive and kind of has like a nice vibe to it, like cohesive vibe.
Yeah, we're big things coming down the pipe. We're gluing it all together. It's all coming together. Sam. Good.
Yeah, you're cooking in the kitchen. You're ready to get it out there. Yeah,
yeah. It's our secret recipe. Most importantly, Friday. I got a plug. Friday, June 21st, Evening Muse in Charlotte, baby. All the Charlotte listeners, come party.
Oh yeah,
be there, be square.
Yeah, come hang out. With us. We're really approachable.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you guys? Keep in mind when you like put music out, the whole thing nowadays, it's like a lot of people just do the singles, and then like a lot of people don't do like albums, really. They might do like an EP or something. Is that something you guys think about, or is it just kind of like you said, you guys kind of just do whatever the fuck you want? So like, what do you guys think about that a lot? Or
it kind of, we didn't think about it in the beginning. Like we're kind of just like doing it, and then someone came along and they were like, actually, that's like a real like strategy. So
there's really no rhyme. We just get excited about music and then drop it, and then we just deal with the consequences. That's how we approach it.
Hell yeah. What about like the whole nowadays, you have like the TikToks, the Twitter, well, I guess it's X now, like all the fucking like socials, you kind of have to be on that nowadays to like, you don't have to, but it's a good tool to use. Have you guys really dove into that like big time, like the TikTok presence, the whatever presence, like have you guys ever really dove into that too much?
Like, we kind of on that like boomer mentality.
Yeah.
Like, no, really me too. Like, and I know we should. It's just like, I feel like, I gotta preserve, like, my mental peace, bro. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, I feel like it's just, like, fucking brain rot.
It can be pretty overwhelming.
Yeah. I think we never. No judgment, but it's just like, I don't know.
I think TikTok is like definitely a super helpful tool for people, but I don't know. It's just not really our cup of tea.
Yeah. It's like mentally, it's just bad for us, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And like, you could put that creativity. I got it that time. You put that creativity towards your music versus like putting a 7-second video on the internet.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can be really fun. Mm-hmm. We've done like for Focusrite, we did a commercial for them and like got to post that on Reels with them. And like, that was really cool, you know, shit like that. Like occasionally we'll do like promotional, like, you know, take it seriously and be like, okay, yeah, it is kind of a business. We have to do it. And it ends up being really fun, but I think we try to keep our distance from it just for like our sanity.
I hear you, man. I hear you. But, guys, thanks for hopping on. It was really interesting. I learned a lot, you know, and it was a very interesting conversation. I appreciate it. If you guys have any plugs, like socials, or, you know, you were mentioning some shows earlier, you could, floor is yours if you want to tell everyone.
Okay. I'm going to go like auctioneer mode. Okay. Friday. God damn, what's the
evening date? Muse?
Friday evening Muse, Charlotte, 8:30 p.m. I don't know how much at the door. It's all ages, I believe. July 5th, Amos South End, also in Charlotte. Pop out, come meet us.
Shout out Austin Clintworth. Shout out Jordan Keys.
Yes.
Shout out Andrew Holly.
Andrew Holly.
My mom.
Yeah. Shout out my parents. Shout out Hannah Ramelb. White.
Stefan, Yuki, thanks for hopping on. This is a really fun convo. I appreciate it, guys. Everyone make sure they you know, follow them, Google them, that's what I just say, give them a Google. But in the meantime, also check out, well, Current Blue, by the way. I'm all fucked up. Current Blue's the band name.
I'm trying to be on you, bro. Hey, it's 5 o'clock.
Man, I'm not drunk. Everyone listen, I'm not drunk. I have like brain rot, you could say.
It's okay, but, if you are.
Yeah, just got back from work, you know. It's brutal out here. But it's 95 degrees out. But But also check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Check out our website, ragerowdy.com. And thanks everyone for listening.
Appreciate it.
My boots would look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night. So why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?